Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to share some things with us today, hopefully to encourage us, to edify us in the ways of God. But I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church, and here in Tampa, Florida. And I'm speaking to some folks here in our audience as well as those who may be listening. So hopefully you'll glean some things out of this today to draw you, bring you closer to Jesus Christ. I was stirred in my heart to title this, Don't Mingle with the World.
Yeah.
Don't mingle with the world.
Yeah.
A dangerous place to be when you start being more tolerant of the things of the world and actually incorporating them into your life. It's a dangerous place to be when you start mingling with the world and the world's ways, the world's philosophies. And one thing about the world, let me just define the world here briefly. The world, the Greek word is cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. That's the Greek word for it. And it means world, earth, world system, world universe, the adornment of the world. In some contexts, the world is simply the place where people live. This is our world. But in the scriptures, when it talks about the world in spiritual context, it means, especially in the book of John, the world is a system opposed to God. That's what the world is. A lot of times, love not the world or the things in the world. Jesus is talking about those things that are in the world, material things for sure, that that people idolize above God. But it's a system that opposes God. So be careful. Don't get your foot to the vortex of a worldly system. Don't get close because you can get sucked in to a worldly system. And we see a lot of people living that way. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's just look at a couple of scriptures here and to make a point. And then we're going to share a part of a psalm with us, or most of that psalm, to make our point here today. Don't mingle with the world. Very powerful warning and given by Moses to the people of Israel, and when he gave the summation of the covenant to them, he was just warning them. He was telling them, once again, have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. When you go into these lands to conquer these lands, do not incorporate your life with what they're doing. Be careful. And now, Israel, verse 1, Deuteronomy 4, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Wow. Listen to the statutes that you're being taught that you may perform them in order that you may live and take possession. I mean, you can stop right there and I suppose preach on that for a couple weeks. But listening, I can hear what you're saying, Eddie, to me, but I may not be really... I hear you, but I may not be listening to what you're saying. I know that happens between husbands and wives at times. And Shirley may sometimes say, is that right? And I'm going, would you say that again? Because I don't know what you're saying is that right about? And also sitting in classroom, a teacher is teaching and you're daydreaming and you're thinking about a lot of other things. The teacher says, is that right, Mark? Duh. Busted, you know. So hearing someone, the sounds impinge on your ears is not the same thing as listening. And this is what Moses is talking about. You need to listen, Israel. You need to understand. You need to download what I'm saying so that when you go into these lands, you will remember what I'm saying. Because if you're just hearing the sounds impinge on your ears and you're not really listening, then you're not going to remember what I'm saying. Has that ever happened to you? someone speaking to you face to face and you don't hear a word they're saying,
right.
You are in Venus, you know. and they'll go right after the talk, they'll say, is that right, Naomi? And they, oh, would you say it again? And they're staying right in front of you saying it, but you're just hearing, you're not listening. And I don't know if husbands and wives could take a class in that and benefit or not. Probably so, or all of us. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it.
That's right.
That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal-peor. For all the men who follow Baal-peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. They witnessed this. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Those who have held fast to the Lord are alive. Those who didn't perished. Now, Deuteronomy goes on and elaborates that same theme over and over again. And I'm not going to read through that because of our message today. I want to get to something else here. This is just a precursor. But over and over again, Deuteronomy, he's summarizing the law to them. He said, do you understand? Those who have held fast to the Lord, they're alive. Those who didn't are dead. They've perished. So what God has to say and for us to listen to is very important. So when the Lord says, I want you to minister to me, I want you to come into my holy of holies as my priest, I've given you a right to do that. You're prophets and priests and kings. You all know that. The Bible says we're prophets and priests and kings. So he wants us as priests of God to enter into the holy of holies and to minister to him. God wants us to do that. That's life. Those who don't are going to miss out on the experience of being in God's presence. He says, I want you to open your mouth and I will fill it. Whether it be preaching or singing or adoration and worship and praise. Those who do, God says, I'm going to inhabit. I'm going to be there. I'm going to feel that. I'm going to be there. I know the difference. God's Holy Spirit knows the difference whether we're being, you know, religious or if we're being sincere. So those who do worship and praise God in sincerity and truth, they know that they're going to welcome and bid God's presence. God inhabits the praises of his people. So those who do are going to experience that. Those who don't, won't. And so there's times to be vociferous. There's times to be silent before the Lord. But when God wants his people to open their mouths and he says, I will fill it, God means to open our mouths and let God fill it with adoration and praise. He gives us the Spirit to worship him. It's not you. What can you offer to the Lord? But he will enable you to worship him. I know there's more for me to come into in doing that, and I want it. And I'm experiencing more of that as I seek that. I want the presence of God to inhabit my praise to him. And I want the Holy Spirit to enable me to do that his way, in purity and sincerity. I want to live, move, and exist and have my being in him. Lord, what do I do? Do I take this course of study? God, do I put in my resignation? God, what do I do? I don't know where the funds are coming for these bills, and I'm feeling these manifestations in my body. What do you want me to do, Lord? How do I handle this? I mean, all kinds of questions in our life. All kinds of questions. The kid's in the middle of the road. That's where I'm going. The kids are in the middle of the road. I'm driving. He doesn't belong there. Do I run over him? Do I stop? Do I pace? Do I get out and preach to him? Do I, you know, I tell him God loves him, or, you know, or whatever. And he shoots your bird, you know, whatever, you know, what, in your face, and you're trying to tell him God loves him, and he does it again. You say God loves you, and he does it again. Well, you just going in circles. What do I do, Lord, with this thing in front of me? I'm starting to get upset. You know, God inhabits the praises of his people. The people who want God there in their lives, they're going to experience it and know what to do, because I've had these things happen to me, and I felt it rising within me. One time there was a group in front of me. I got kind of close to them. Shirley says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm feeling something." Yeah, I wasn't endangering them, but I moved closer to them to let them know they're on a road, not a sidewalk. I didn't like that, Naomi. I didn't like that. I didn't like that reaction to me, but everything within me wanted to do something about what they were doing. I did. And I asked the Lord, forgive me. But it rises up. I want God to control and be Lord of my moments. This is what Moses was saying to them. When you go, you're going to see things you've never seen before. You're going to see these people worshiping idols. You're going to see these people doing all kinds of... And the people respond, "Oh no, we're never going to do that. We're never going to do that." But watch out. Turn to Psalm 106. Watch what... The nature of man is really something else. Don't say you're never going to do something. Just trust God to lead you and help you every moment of your life. That you hope and pray you're never going to do whatever. But look at Psalm 106. And here's the people that he was preaching to. Here's also a summation of what went on. Don't do these things when you go in and take over these lands, Moses is saying, summarizing the covenant between them and God. And the people say, "Oh, you know, we're never going to do those things." But in Psalm 106, it tells a little history here too of what the people are capable of doing. Watch this. Psalm 106, praise the Lord. These people are very grateful because they're shouting hallelujah in the streets because they've been bad people. So they start out by saying, praise the Lord. Now they're going to get into something. Praise the Lord, Psalm 106, verse 1. And the title of this psalm is, "We Have Sinned. We Are Not Where We Thought We Were." There's a little more humility here now. In Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord, or who can show forth all His praise? How blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times." Who practice righteousness at all times. They're saying that's a blessed thing to do. If there's sometimes we don't want to practice righteousness, we want to do our thing. Sometimes with those that are close to us, those that are maybe at work, those at home, you're pretty close to people at home, so there's a lot of opportunities to not practice righteousness at times at home. "Remember me, O Lord," verse 4, "in thy favor toward thy people. Visit me with thy salvation." Can we all say that right now? Visit me with thy salvation. Let's say it again. Visit me with thy salvation. And that's a daily moment by moment, heartbeat moment, breath moment every day. Visit me with thy salvation. They know this now because they messed up. In verse 5, "that I may see the prosperity of thy chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." All right, verse 6. Bam! Verse 6. This is what they did. "We have sinned like our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have behaved wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand thy wonders. They did not remember thine abundant kindnesses, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea." They're reviewing the history now. "Nevertheless, he saved them for the sake of his name, that he might make his power known. Thus he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up, and he led them through the deeps as through the wilderness. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise." Verse 13, "they quickly forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel." How many of you know it's easy to forget? It's easy on a Monday to be doing something you wish you were not doing. Tomorrow or this afternoon. Some things distract us. You ever been distracted when you're driving? When somebody else is also trying to help you drive? Somebody's getting ready to go on a trip with some other people and they're going to have several thousand miles to be in the car with other people. So we're going to have to be really prayed up. You should have turned back there. Now we got to go all the way around the beltway back there, dummy. Duh, there's a big old sign right over the road. Not that they would say it that way. But they might. Duh. Big green sign right over the entire interstate. Exit 43 coming up. This is where we need to get off. Hey, an hour ago we've been talking about exit 43. And you go right by exit 43 because why? You weren't paying attention. If you would have been paying attention, we wouldn't be going 10 miles out of our way. Because I got to get out. I got to take a rest stop or what? I can't go 10 miles. Now you really messed up, so you've got a problem with me. It just can go on and on. It can, you know, just go on and on about how bad you are and the mistake that you make. So anyhow, people got a lot of opinions when you're driving, but you're going to have to really, you know, you're going to have to welcome God's salvation in those moments. Wait till you drive. I'm going to get you back. And you see how that is? We keep score. Now it's their turn to drive. I might have missed exit 43, but man, oh man. Look what you just did, dummy. And it's crazy. We can't live that way. We got to welcome God's salvation in a moment. But it's easy to forget who we are. That's all I'm saying. It's easy to forget. But this is the real world, and you're going to find out who you are in the real world in a moment by moment. That's where you're going to find out where you're really living. You're not with the congregation singing, you know, I love your presence. You're out there in the real world and it just bang, it hits you just like that and you're going to react one way or the other. But look where these people, look at the potential of how far we can get back, get away from the Lord. They quickly forgot his works, verse 13. They did not wait for his counsel, but craved intensely in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. So he gave them their request, but sent a wasting disease among them. Thousands of people died in the wilderness because of disobedience. Thousands. When they became envious of Moses in the camp and of Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and engulfed the company of Abiram. And a fire blazed up in their company. The flame consumed the wicked. There's some people died because of disobedience. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped a molten image. How could that be? Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wonders in the land of Ham, and awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before them to turn away his wrath from destroying them. In verse 24, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in his word. That's why we need to read God's word. We need to have God's word in us that we don't in any future time despise his word. We need to know what his word says. They grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Therefore he swore to them that he would cast them down in the wilderness and that he would cast their seed among the nations and scatter them in the lands. In verse 28, This is how serious and how far they got away. They joined themselves also to Baal Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. This is God's people. They provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. And verse 30, then Phinehas stood up and interposed, and so the plague was stayed. And it was reckoned to him for righteousness to all generations forever. In verse 32, they also provoked him to wrath at the waters of Meribah, so that it went hard with Moses on their account, because they were rebellious against the Spirit, against his Spirit. He spoke rashly with his lips. Now watch this. Verse 34, remember Deuteronomy, the summation of the covenant between them and Moses and the Lord. And he told them to destroy those things in the lands where they went. In verse 34, they did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols. Right now, there is a softening in America, even in the church. I'm not talking about the faithful. I'm talking about religiously. there's a softening and a tolerance toward the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender agenda. There's a softening. There's a tolerance. The world is becoming more tolerant of these things. And the church also is. I'm not talking about the faithful. I'm talking about the religious church. That's is right. Becoming more soft toward this agenda. Yeah. Much more. And they're saying, Hillary Clinton is saying, she grew up knowing it was wrong, but now she says, I've learned what's right about it. More tolerant. Anyhow, they did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and learned their practices. Don't mingle with the world. The Lord is saying, don't mingle with the world.
That's right.
You need to abide by my word. My word is light and life. Those who do live, those who don't, die. And verse 36, and they served their idols, which became a snare to them. Look what they did. They actually came to a point in verse 37 of, they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood. The blood of their sons and their daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the lamb was polluted with the blood. Thus they became unclean in their practices and played the harlot in their deeds. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. Then he gave them into the hand of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Those who hated the ways of God sucked them in, drew them in, and end up ruling over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were subdued under their power. Many times he would deliver them. Many times he would deliver them. They, however, were rebellious in their counsel, and so sank down in their iniquity. Nevertheless, verse 44, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry, and he remembered the covenant for their sake and relented according to the greatness of his loving kindness. He also made them objects of compassion in the presence of all their captors. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations to give thanks to thy name, to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting, and to let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is wanting, I believe with all my heart, that God is saying once again, the Lord wants to gather us from the world philosophies, from the ideology, from the world views that are out there that are coming against his word in a much powerful, powerful, powerful way. There is a flood of the enemy against the word of God.
Yes.
They're wanting to vet. They're wanting to take out. They're wanting to tell the church to shut up and to let us have our fun. Please let us have our fun in peace. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And don't involve your God in what we're doing. Don't mess up. Don't crash our party. We're having fun. So way back in Deuteronomy, Moses says, beware that you do not get involved with the nations or the nations' views or ways or their practices or their idols. No, we ain't going to do that. And we find out they did. We find out we have in our life. We have failed. We have messed up. But we also know we serve a compassionate God who forgives us when we call out to him. So we got to run to him. Junebug, we got to run to Jesus. And we got to run to him with all of our heart. We've got to really, really invoke and ask God to bring down the weight of his presence, the weight of his glory, to lighten the load in our life. And allow us to live the life he called us to live today. We are not to have anything to do with this world or this world's ways. Yeah. Yea, rather, we are to go to places like D.C. to influence the people to turn their life around to walk with Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. If you do, you live. If you don't, you die. That is God's word. May all of you who may be listening to this message today take it to heart and don't mingle with the world in our take-it-homes today, there are many scriptures dealing with this. You could talk for it for months on this subject about not being influenced by the world, holding close to the heart of God and having God's Word hidden in your heart. And so those who may be listening today, I pray that you'll take it to heart and that you will choose to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And by the way, there's no other name that we can have salvation. There's no other name given to men on earth, Acts 4:12, that we can believe to save us. For there's no other name under heaven as be given to men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus. God bless you.